We've just seen a fantastic nativity play performed here at St. Peter's, and I'm sure you enjoyed it as much as I do. One that went remarkably smoothly. You know, that isn't always the case with nativity plays. On one occasion, there was a little boy who desperately wanted the part of Joseph, but he was given the part of the innkeeper, and he decided to get his revenge. After weeks of rehearsals, getting his lines right every single time, when it came to the performance and the moment when Mary and Joseph knocked on the inn door asking if there was any rooms for the night, instead of saying no and directing them to the stable, he threw wide open the inn door and said, "There are plenty of rooms. Come on in for the night." Somewhat deviating from the original plot of the story. Well, we had no such problems with our nativity play this morning. They're great fun, which I guess is why we're all here this morning. But the danger of doing what we're doing this morning, of having a nativity play at Christmas, is that it reinforces the idea that the Christmas story, as we've seen acted out, is just that. Just a story. Something that is nice and heartwarming and fun for the children to be involved in, yes. But not something that the rest of us need to take seriously. Not something that we need to engage with personally, as if it was significant in life. Well, to help us get beyond that way of thinking, there's a verse from the Bible that's coming up on the screen now. Have we got that verse? No, we haven't. Let me read the verse that I was hoping you might be able to see on the screen. It says this: "Don't waste your time with silly tales and worthless legends. Don't waste your time with silly tales and worthless legends." It's not normally a part of the Bible that's read out at Christmas time, but it does help us understand the Christmas story more accurately. So let me suggest to you, just very briefly in the time we've got, why the Christmas story is not a legend or a story, silly or worthless or otherwise. It's not what we might call a fairy tale, but it is something that we could and should take seriously. First of all, fairy tales aren't true. Fairy tales aren't true. We've got some fairy tales coming up on the screen. I'm more confident of this. See if you can tell me which of the fairy tales we've got coming up. Any offers? Cinderella. Cinderella. That is Cinderella. Anyone? Snow White. And the next one? Sleeping Beauty. Some of you are good. And what about the last fairy tale? Little Red Riding Hood. There we go, Little Red Riding Hood. They're all well-known fairy tales. They've all been made into Walt Disney films, as it happens. And they're all not true. They've all been made up, many of them by the Brothers Grimm. But just have a look back with me, in your order of service, at how our first reading began. This is the birth of Jesus according to Luke. Have a look with me at verse 1 of Luke chapter 2 on the inside of the order of service. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." And just in case you're wondering, well, which census is that? Luke adds in verse 2, "This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria." You see, this story does not begin once upon a time. It begins with real historical figures at a real time in history. For all the extraordinary events that we've seen acted out this morning, the Christmas story is history, not story. It's true. It's not made up. Secondly, the second reason why the Christmas story is not a fairy story is that fairy tales are escapist. Fairy tales are escapist. They're about escaping our world, in our imaginations, for our entertainment, for our enjoyment. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But that's not what the Christmas story is like. The new Star Wars film, The Force Awakens, opens in cinemas this month on the 17th of December. I wonder if any of you who are old enough to remember the very first Star Wars film from 1977, how that film began. It began with these words: "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away." It's pure escapism. But look again at how the Christmas story is presented. Have a look with me at verses 3 and 4 of the first reading that we had. "And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." Do you see, real people in real places, Nazareth, Galilee, Judea, Bethlehem, in our world, the real world, in our galaxy, this galaxy. And the baby at the center of this story, we'll have a look at verse 11 from our second reading. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The baby at the center of the story, he's described in three ways there in that verse. And it's the first of those, Savior. That is another dose of reality as we hear this story. Jesus being born as a Savior is a bit like giving someone soap or deodorant for a Christmas gift. It's not just a gift. You're saying something about the person that you give it to. Jesus being born as a Savior is saying something about us, about this world in which we live. It's saying we need a Savior. We need saving. Saving from the mess that we're making of this world. Saving from the mess that we so often find ourselves making of our own lives and our own relationships. Saving from God himself, who's going to hold us accountable for how we've lived in his world. Fairy tales are escapist, but the Christmas story is about reality. It's a reality check for us. And then thirdly, the third reason why the Christmas story is not a fairy tale is this, that fairy tales have happy endings. Do you remember? Cinderella gets her Prince Charming. Snow White? No, Sleeping Beauty gets her Prince Charming. Snow White gets her Prince Charming. And Little Red Riding Hood gets her grandmother back again. It's a slightly different happy ending, but nevertheless, just as happy. In fairy tales, people always live happily ever after. But not the Christmas story. See, this baby in a manger, this baby in a manger grew up. He lived, first of all, as a carpenter, and then as an itinerant preacher. But this story is no rags-to-riches story. This story does not end in the arms of a prince. It ends with the arms of a man being stretched out on a cross to die. That is how this baby in the Christmas story became the Savior that we need, dying for us to bring us back to God. The Christmas story, for all the fun and celebration, it's no fairy story. It's true. It's about reality. And it ends at the cross with the Savior dying for you and for me. So as I close this short talk, let me leave you with a question. It's a question that'll come up again in just a few moments after our last carol. It's this. What difference does it make that the Christmas story is true? What difference does it make to you personally that the Christmas story is true? To how you might celebrate Christmas this year? To how you might respond personally to this baby born to be our Saviour, born to do that by dying? What difference will it make knowing that the Christmas story is true?